Hello and welcome to Series 2 of SQUAD, the podcast from the military children's charity Little Troopers. My name is Joel M, a TV presenter and magician, so this is completely different to what I'm used to doing. But if this is your first time here, then welcome. SQUAD is the place to come if you're a part of a military family or if you just have an interest in hearing about extraordinary people's life stories. Across 5 episodes, we're speaking to people who are leading the way in worlds of the creative arts, hospitality, design, and sport. We'll hear how growing up in a military family impacted their journeys to the very top. We love to kick things off with some of your SQUAD stories because we know that military life can be wild at the best of times. So we've caught up with some of the young people that Little Troopers support to hear about some of the unique things they've experienced growing up in a military family. First up, here is Caitlin.
So my cat Dizzy, she does this thing where when she sees a removal fan, she just bolts somewhere and we don't know where. And we've obviously done that quite a few times. But this time it got really bad. Dizzy was in the bushes and we didn't know where she was. And behind the bushes was like a massive forest. It was very, very difficult. We were all very upset. So I sat in the garden for a bit and waited a very long time. And in the end, I saw her a little bit, like, just saw her. I went really slowly into the house, got some treats, got back into the garden again, and shook them. And then she listened, and then she came out, but only very, very, very slowly, because she was still very unsure. So I scooped her up, gave her cuddles, and brought her back into the house, and put her in the kitchen, and we shut her in there so she wouldn't come out. But she's happy now and she's really enjoying the new house where we're going to be happily staying here for a long time.
And now let's hear from Charlotte.
I've been a military child since I was born and my dad was in the military a long time before I came knocking that. I've moved around quite a bit as most military children have. The star of the show is when I went to live in California for 3 years. I'd been to one school at the time before I moved to America, and then it chucked me straight into this whole world where everything is so big and bright and sunny, and I was just whoa. And 7/8-year-old me just went, oh my goodness, what is this? Going to a place where I didn't know anybody whatsoever, I had no friends going out there, it really pushed me to have to step out of my comfort zone and really put myself out there. But then when I was able to move back home, everyone said that I was a lot more chatty and bubbly. And I hated it first when I moved out to America and I wanted to come home straight away. I said they talk funny. They want me to talk to them all the time. They were like, I love your accent. And I was just like, oh my God, what is this? But everything being so on such a larger scale, when I came back, nothing's really been as frightening. And even moving to university, when other people have been absolutely scared as anything, I've been quite comfortable, and being able to put myself out there and start new societies and make friends with people from all over the UK now feels quite simple compared to making friends with someone that lives halfway across the world.
Oh, thanks so much, guys. Lovely stories. And it raises the question, what makes home home? Is it family or pets or both? Something to think about. It seems that some people have a calling or they just know what they want to do from a young age. But for others, it can take a long time to work things out. Wherever you are on this spectrum, we hope that this podcast can help inspire and reassure you that your military life needn't be a barrier. In this episode, we're speaking to Tom Smith. Now, some of you will recognise Tom. He's a friend of the show, having already featured alongside Katie in Series 1. Tom is a professional rugby player, how cool, and is currently playing for the Doncaster Knights. Tom's dad has served in the British Army and the RAF. During his service, he was deployed multiple times, going to Northern Ireland, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait. Tom spent time living in Italy on a posting before attending boarding school. He knows the best and the worst parts of growing up in a military family, and we are so pleased to welcome him back to SQUAD to share how these experiences shaped him and his journey to becoming a professional athlete. Can you imagine what a dream to play the sport you love professionally? When I did the Marine Challenge recently, I got absolutely beasted. And it doesn't sound dissimilar to playing rugby. I did give it a go when I was a teenager. Not for me, I can tell you that much. At any rate, I have so many questions for Tom and I can't wait to welcome him back to the podcast to see what's happened in the last few years. Tom, welcome back. It's good to have you now on Squad again. I'm really excited to learn all about your career and your childhood, but you're injured at the moment, aren't you?
I am, yeah. Firstly, thank you very much for having me on again. It's a pleasure. But yeah, as you mentioned, just coming back from a bit of surgery on my knee this time. Last time I'm on, I was pretty sure it was my ankle. So I've got ankle, shoulder and knee now. So I've completed the Holy Trinity.
Oh, gosh. Don't say that. It's the curse. How did you manage to do this one?
Well, embarrassingly, it was before contact or anything. I tried to be a bit fancy and change direction a bit too quick. And my knee thought otherwise and went the other way.
Oh, no. These things happen. So how long will you be out for then?
In total, probably a year, just over a year. Had to wait a little bit for surgeons to free up a bit of time, but from surgery date, it looks about 9 to 10 months.
Oh my gosh. Well, you've done it before, so I guess you know what to expect. But I imagine for somebody like you, who's just, you know, active, big boy sitting around, not being able to do too much in that initial recovery period's got to be a fun time.
Yeah, no, it was painful. It was okay for me. I felt sorry for Alex, bless her. She had to do all the cooking and everything. So I sat there with my leg straightened out and milked it as much as possible.
I was going to say, you may break your leg again. That doesn't sound too bad. That's it's a good trade-off. Well, we're wishing you a fast, speedy recovery, get you back to normal, because we need you out on the field. We need you there, which actually leads me to my first question, right? You're the first ever professional rugby player I've spoken to. I've interviewed a lot of sports stars in my job, but not a rugby player. What does living a day in the life of a rugby player when playing and not sitting having your cooking done for you, what does that look like? What's the daily routine?
Usually it's a normal week. Looks like a game day on a Saturday, so dissimilar to football, you usually get sort of two games a week. With rugby, you need as much time as possible to recover. It's a bit more physical than football. Monday, Tuesday will be your heavy review days. Thursday, Friday will sort of be training heavy, and then rest up Saturday morning, play Saturday, and then rinse and repeat, really.
Goodness me. Just training all the time. It's such a mad life. Is this something that you knew you wanted to do from when you were younger?
Not really, no. I wanted to follow in Dad's footsteps a little bit. I wanted to be a pilot, but unfortunately I take after my mum and she's given me crippling migraines which strike at any point and I just lose all vision. So. I put my sensible hat on and probably thought that I shouldn't be in charge of a massive vehicle flying about the sky. But then was then playing rugby a bit, got scouted by a couple of clubs at around 15, and then thought, I'll put all my energy into this.
Yes. And you mentioned your dad there. Was your dad deployed when you were growing up?
Yeah, a fair bit. He was gone a fair few times. He's done, must be 5+ active tours now. So he's been about a bit.
Okay, so I want to wrap my head around all of this. Let's take it right back to when you were little. You can get back into the mind of little Tom. What was it like growing up for you? Because as we know, you're a military child. You just mentioned your dad. Rugby came a little bit later. What were your earliest memories of that growing up as a military child? Did that feel normal to you? Or are there things that stand out?
Yeah, no, I think, well, it was my norm for sure. Like a lot of kids that will be going through it, is that if you're born into a military family, that's like anyone, it's all you know what you're born into. So my earliest memories of that will be welcoming Dad back from Afghan, Iraq in the massive hangars. But it's always confusing, isn't it? Whether it's actual memory or it's photos that mum's got cherished up on the walls. So that'll probably be the fondest or the most memorable bit, is welcoming them back.
Yeah, I can imagine that's hard to wrap your head around when you're a kid, because if Dad's away, I don't know how long he would have been away for, but that's something I imagine, I don't know, maybe you'll tell me differently, but that probably would have something I would have been worried about. How did you experience that when you were a kid?
Yeah, definitely. It's a tough one to sort of comprehend. Like a lot of people say, our parents have gone away for a weekend or I've gone away for a trip for work, whereas I think Dad's probably longest one, putting aside the 2 weeks R&R that he got, was probably touching a year. So the most normal time away would be nine months in. So it's difficult, and you see stuff on news and mum tries to turn it off and change channel and stuff like that. But again, it's the norm. You obviously pray and hope that everything goes well, and luckily it did, but yeah, it's just whatever you get used to.
Yeah, that's a thought that hadn't crossed my mind in terms of having a parent who's in the military. It's just that, like, seeing things in the news and hearing bits and pieces, that's something that you don't expect to have to deal with as a kid. So how old were you whenever he was first deployed, if you remember?
I probably, I can't remember the youngest I was, but the most busiest period was probably from 7 to 11, I think. My memory might not serve me correct there, but that was his Afghan and Iraq tours. He was sort of the most away in that period, which I then went away to a boarding school called Coleford, which is very close to Honington, which is where he's based at, just for a bit of stability, which really helped.
That makes sense. So you were moving around a bit, though. You said you went to boarding school. Where have you lived and been moved to through the whole process?
So as a family, we've lived, best places probably Naples, Italy. Got deployed out with NATO over there, which was unbelievable. But again, I was bouncing school holidays. I'd go over every time. But again, my base was Coleford School, which was always nice for me. I was very, very routine, still am. We had a couple of stints in London, in Ruislip, and then majority of it's been sort of Norfolk, Suffolk area.
Okay. You've been about an awful lot. It's hard for me to wrap my head around because I was one of these kids who grew up in a little seaside town called Bangor, and I didn't leave till I was 25. And that was just, but even at that, you know, growing up's tricky. And if you add that into the mix, there's a whole lot of other factors that you have to think about. You mentioned your dad being away for, you know, 9 months to a year sometimes. How did he stay in touch with you during that period, if he was able to?
Towards the back end of it, he could do a call every sort of 2 weeks, but the majority were these letters that he would send. They'd always be blue, and then towards the end, they turned them to be white, but that's all I can remember. I still got them sashed away somewhere, so it's like send them off on pigeon, the old-fashioned times.
Yes. Some of the other guests we've had on the show have mentioned those. It's a recurring theme that seems to come up. It's a pretty standard way of doing it. And that would have been exciting, getting those letters back in the day, the little blue slips. I hesitate to say, I think they called them blues, but I can't remember.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to open up with that, and I was like, oh, if I've got it wrong, I'll look like a right numpty, so I just said letters.
That's how I thought as well. There you go, we're okay, we're on the same page. When you say family, by the way, obviously, mum and dad, was it just you, or do you have siblings?
Growing up, so luckily for my sister, who's now 13, she was born when I was 12, and that was when dad was sort of back in the mix a little bit more, so... For the majority of the time dad was away, I was sort of the only child in sort of the immediate family setup. But again, I can't stress enough how much boarding school was sort of a blessing in disguise. At the time, it was sort of getting sent away, but it took your mind off it massively.
Yeah, I'm sure. So speaking of school, that you went boarding school. There were other schools as well, though, as I'd imagine when you were younger. Did you move around a lot in schools, or was it just sort of the fixed ones there?
No, I got quite lucky. So I went, my first school was a school called Ash Hill, which is in Norfolk. And then when dad got really busy, we then sort of, well, mum and dad sorted it out. I then went to Coleford and stayed there till I was 16. And then 16 to 18, I was at a different school called Langley, but that was for rugby purposes as opposed to anything else.
Okay. So it was really in boarding school that rugby got properly introduced to you at that point. I'm on the right timeline.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, before that, my granddad will tell you that I was a goalkeeper in football, but he soon found out that when I let in a goal and started crying, he knew that I wasn't going to follow in the air.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I was.
Tom, I had the exact same experience growing up. I was always goalkeeper, which means, you know, picked last for the football team. So whenever you did start playing, I'd imagine, again, maybe I'm wrong, that you probably had a knack for it and you were quite good. Was it something that you just knew, okay, I'm good at this? Or was it something that took a while and you had to practice?
Not really. I think I've always said that I'm naturally not very talented at rugby. I just worked really hard. I was blessed with some brilliant coaches, main one being a man called Mark Bolton, who just had pure passion for the game. And then my teacher before that was a guy called Richard Pinio as well, that embodied the ethos of rugby and sort of got my love from it from there, and then just carried on playing, really. It was everything I threw in. So I tried hockey for a bit, was rubbish at that, so I had to give it my all.
So boarding school, you actually mentioned that was really good for you and you learned a lot of discipline and structure and that sort of thing. That probably then bled over into being a professional player now, I'd imagine. What do you think that you learned from boarding school that now has helped you in your professional life?
You probably hit the nail on the head there, routine, discipline, that sort of thing. It's a weird career in the sense of that you've got obviously your boss who's your head coach, but you haven't necessarily got someone standing over you telling you you need to do this, need to do that. It's like you said, you have to be very disciplined in making sure you're turning up and putting in the work when the eyes aren't necessarily looking. So yeah, I'd say probably routine and discipline is the main things.
Mm, that makes a lot of sense. Was there ever a time where you thought you might go into the military as well, or was that not something you were interested in?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've sort of dabbled with the idea up until recently, really, where I've now become very comfortable in my home life and I don't really want to be bossed about as much. It was definitely a real thing that I had growing up. And again, it's probably because of the routine and that sort of side of things of the military that it gives you. But who knows? I'm not going to categorically say no. We'll wait and see.
Anything is possible. You just never know.
Exactly.
So we know you got into rugby later and that worked out for you. But as a kid growing up, were you always quite ambitious? Because let's face it, a lot of people want to be professional sports stars. They could even be very, very good. But not everyone actually gets to live the reality of being a professional sportsman. It doesn't happen for a lot of people. Were you always very driven, or what do you think? Is it luck? Is it hard work? How did this happen?
It's a combination of everything, really. I've played with absolutely brilliant players that have just got slightly unlucky with injury. It's being in the right place at the right time. It's a combination of everything, really. Your foundations, your main building blocks is obviously hard work. Keep turning up, and you've got to have a little bit of raw talent, but the rest is sort of a concoction of other things.
It makes sense. Moving back to the period you mentioned, between about 7 to 11, you said was the busiest period, and your dad was away a lot. Which part of that did you find the hardest? And during it, did you have things that you leaned on, like family or support networks? Well, I mean, that experience, it's quite unique.
Yeah, the hardest bit was, for me, uncertainty, mainly around, as brutal as it sounds, obviously dad not coming back. That sort of is the main point for me growing up that I struggled with quite a lot. My family are brilliant, like many are, very open, sort of discuss everything and anything with them. So they were massive. And then again, all my friends growing up with at school, the mischief they got up to in that boarding house will always take your mind off a few things. So that was good.
I think when you go to a school that's not a boarding school, we sort of think of it as Hogwarts rather than like the reality of what it actually is. So what sort of fun stuff did you get up to when you're in boarding school? I can imagine that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's sort of like having 20, 30 brothers that you all go out on a summer's evening, play football with, to hear your housemaster screaming at you to come back in. It's good because you've got that exposure during the week of sort of, like you said, a lot of people have this connotation of boarding school, being school the whole time. But as soon as that's sort of finished, it's like having 30, 40 brothers to mess about with.
Sounds like a great time. Touching on what you said a moment ago about the uncertainty being the worst part of the whole thing, what sort of mindset did you have to get into to cope with that? It's not something that most people have to deal with, this uncertainty of a parent coming back or not. How did you cope with that at the time?
At the time, to be brutally honest, not very well, I don't think. It was, like I said, a very uncertain period where you've got the challenges of growing up normally and everything that comes with that. But the best bit of advice is being open and honest, speaking to sort of loved ones and friends and opening up that way. But also it's really important to pair that with some form of purpose. Whether that's waking up and you've got a team sport that you're really into and you put all your effort into that, whether it's having goals of doing something educationally or something, but pairing sort of that openness with some form of purpose is probably the best way that you can sort of get through it.
That's really good advice, I think. So it gives you, if anything, firstly, a distraction, I think, which is sometimes that's very, very healthy. It has to be done sometimes. But I can imagine for a lot of people, not opening up is the easier option. Sometimes you can feel very, very isolated. So that's really, really good advice. Do you think that going through that while you were younger has helped you cope with some of life's challenges later in life?
Yeah, I think so. I think military children as a whole sort of develop a different form of resilience because, like you said, the norms of growing up, if you're lucky, you don't necessarily have to worry about parents dying or X, Y, and Z. So I do think it puts definitely a different perspective on things, whether someone cuts you up in traffic and you're late to work, you're not honking your horn screaming at sometimes you are. But on the whole, it puts perspective into things aren't as necessarily as sort of bad as they seem.
It's a good way to go through life if you can do that. Easier said than done. And sometimes going through those really, really difficult experiences do end up making the rest of your life a little bit better, if you let them, I think so. So you learned a lot from boarding school and there was the structure and you were around the other guys. What do you think you've learned from your dad that helps you out now, or even that helped you out when you were in school? I mean, I imagine there's lessons there that were very, very useful.
Yeah, no, he's brilliant. It's sort of the traditional family setup. He's a provider, protector, all the good things. I couldn't have asked for a better man, to be honest, to be dad. But again, his sort of resilience, determination, drive were the main things that sort of got from him. It's difficult being in that sort of family setup where dad goes away, but at the same time, you're not the one that's getting bullets flying at you. So it takes an even stronger man to go away and do that. So just, just admiration, if anything, without giving him too many applauds.
Yeah, keep it subtle. That's good. Yeah. So when you were in school, just so I can get my head around it, were you the only military child in your school, or no? Were there plenty of you guys, or were you a one-off?
No, there was a handful of us sort of stuck together, and it helped it a little bit more. But yeah, no, there was a handful of military children that went to the school.
Yeah, I'd say that made a big difference. So you didn't feel maybe so alone during that. Would those have been some of the guys that you were able to open up to in those times where you felt uncertain?
Yeah, I think boys don't always open up, but there's that sort of unspoken rule that if you're hanging out or you don't seem right, they sort of, as opposed to others that aren't going through the same thing, they know. So didn't necessarily have many heart-to-hearts sitting down over dinner or anything like that, but you'd be quick to pick them up and offer them out for a game of football or whatever it was. So it definitely made it easier for someone going through the same sort of thing.
In school, Tom, did the school itself make extra provisions for you and the other guys who were in that situation?
Looking back on it, it wasn't really made a big deal, but behind the scenes, I think the teachers were all sort of aware of it. Definitely the housemasters, they were brilliant. But again, it was nice because your mind was sort of taken off it, because it wasn't sort of pointing out the pink elephant in the room. It was just, if you're not 100% right or you seem a bit down, they'll then pull you aside and sort of talk through a few things and stuff like that. So they were good as a whole.
That's good to hear. Yeah, I like that. I want to just touch a little bit more on your career for a moment. We've talked a bit about your childhood. You went to boarding school. You were good at rugby. You said you had a bit of talent, a lot of hard work. You had mentioned you were scouted. How does that happen? At what age? And how did that feel?
It's sort of the traditional man, hooded man with a clipboard at the side of a rugby game that you always think is a scout. And this time it did turn out to be. In rugby, it's very sort of, you play with your club, you play with your school. Then if you're fortunate enough to get picked up by county level, you'll then play counties. And then a lot of people are then picked up for your local teams like Northampton Saints or Leicester Tigers at sort of 14 and upwards, really.
Makes sense. How old were you when you played your first professional game?
I would have 18, I want to say. 18.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Is there a lot of pressure? I can't even imagine what it's like whenever you're actually out there in the field and you know that your performance makes a big difference.
Well, the main thing there is you're fresh 18, fresh out of school, and then you've chucked in with the big boys that have been playing for 10, 15 years. So the main thing is try not to run around like a headless chicken, avoiding the massive men. So looking back on it, it was a bit of a blur, really. All I can remember thinking is don't get embarrassed too much by being smashed or anything like that.
I have so much respect, because I just know what I would be like if I was on a rugby pitch, man. I probably wouldn't make it to the pitch, firstly, but the second there's a man who's twice my weight running at me, I go, I don't need this. It takes a special type of bravery.
And then it's people in your line of work that then put it on clips and rewind it the whole time so you can't unlive it. Yes.
It's so true. It's so, so true. Oh, dear. Yeah, we should be ashamed of ourselves, us media people. So, Tom, you mentioned that you were initially at one stage thinking about following in your dad's footsteps. To be clear, what role was your dad in exactly?
So he started off in the army, was in two squadrons of the parachute regiment. But the majority of his career, I think he transferred to the Royal Air Force in 1999, I think, so the year I was born or a bit after that. And he's been RAF Reg ever since, a sort of ground troop. He's not flying planes as such.
Okay, gotcha. And was it that role specifically, if you were to follow in the footsteps, that's what you would have wanted to do? Or was it a different area?
I wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to fly about. But yeah, no, dad was always seen as sort of the cool one to run around with guns and that. I think growing up as a boy, that's sort of, that's every boy's dream, isn't it? Run around with action figures and stuff like that. So it was definitely something growing up that I looked towards and thought about quite a bit.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's interesting, Tom, because something I've noticed from speaking with pretty much all the guests that we've had on the show is that at one point or another, they did consider the idea of going into military life as a career. They've obviously ended up doing something else, but it was an idea in the back of their head, and it's not something you always see. For example, I mean, my parents work in the church and I never once thought to do that. And all of my friends, similar sort of thing, they do very different things than what their parents did. But it does seem to be a common thread that a lot of children growing up in a military family think about doing that themselves, whether they end up or not doing that. Why do you think that is?
I think probably the main thing it'll be is lifestyle. Growing up on sort of quarters, on houses, massive blocks or estates, probably the most similar thing to it nowadays is new builds. But again, it's sort of that boarding lifestyle of you're all living in the same spot, you're all going through the same thing. Dads or mums will be going off at the same time for work, doing the same thing, coming back. Kids will be coming back from school, then they can play. I think it all just plays into that routine. And I remember looking back on sort of that sort of time with fond memories, going out on my bike with the boys from next door or messing about. And I think it's just familiar. Mm. It's also cool seeing your dad come back in camo greens and marching about with guns and stuff as well. So I think it's a combination of that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you think that plays into it? Because when you speak about your dad, you speak about it with a lot of pride, and that's probably something you felt as well back then. Do you think that plays into it as well? You know, you see your dad in a massively positive way because of that, and I'm sure other people do as well. There might be an element of, oh, I could do that as well.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, you want to follow in the footsteps, or if not beat him. But yeah, no, definitely there's a massive pride element of it, and sort of that self-worth of the job as well. It's not your typical job. It's dangerous. It's for the greater good, as people would say. It's putting others before you. So it's definitely a massive pride element.
So you're a professional now, Tom. You mentioned getting scouted. What's the sort of middle ground between there? Do you just go from being scouted to, wow, you're a professional now? What does that look like? What is the professional rugby career path? I have no idea.
Yeah, no, a lot of people don't. It's like every professional sort of massive roller coaster journey. Loads of different ways of sort of becoming a professional, especially nowadays. There's the academy system, which I went through, which is from 14 to 18. There's various stages of sort of an academy with a club. So for me, from 14 to 15, I was with Northampton Saints. I then got dropped by them for about 6 months or so. And it wasn't until that period I then got scouted by Leicester Tigers. And then went through their system from 16 to 18, and then got offered a professional contract at 18 from school level, and then went from there.
I said, did you say you got dropped from the program at one point for 6 months? Did I hear you right?
Yeah, from Northampton Saints. But yeah, I got released from their program, which at that particular moment I was devastated about.
That's what I wanted to ask about. I was going to say, I can't imagine that felt nice, especially in those teenage years, but you still went on to succeed anyway.
Yeah, no. So after the news from Northampton, I then went back to sort of the county system and just played there, which again, there's numerous people watching, which sort of ties into the reason why I then moved to Langley at 16. Because they were affiliated with Leicester Tigers, as it was a different county or school system, and then went from there. But there's quite a few stories like that in rugby. You don't particularly fit the mold of one club, but you do the other.
I had no idea how it worked. So there you go. It's a little insight for anyone who wants to be a professional rugby player. That's the process you have to go through. Although it was never 100% certain for you that that was going to turn out, like in any job in showbiz or in sports. You never really know how it's going to go. Did you ever have a plan B, a backup plan, besides wanting to potentially go down the military route? Was there anything else?
Yeah, so when I got my professional contract at Leicester, they were really good at sort of making you aware that brilliant, fantastic, you've got to this stage, but you could get an injury, you could have all of a sudden fall out of favor, you could not keep progressing at the stage you are and not be at the level that you need to be. So they then sort of made a lot of boys go to the uni route. So I did a psychology degree with the Open University alongside my rugby as well. So I've got that. I haven't necessarily had to use it yet, but at the time I was sort of thinking about the mental health route, mental health nurse. That's what mum did growing up. So utilize it in that sense. But as a lot of my friends will remind you, psychology is very wishy-washy, so I can apply it to any walk of life, thankfully.
That's good. Well, yeah, you haven't had to use it yet. I think you're going from strength to strength anyway, but do you think it's something that is worth having regardless?
Yeah, I think not necessarily a degree. I don't think it has to be a degree. It can be an apprenticeship. It can be a hobby outside. I think it's just important to have multiple backup plans because it can turn on a sixpence. I went to a club a few years back in Jersey, were meant to fly out to a game, got a text message at 4:30 in the morning saying meet at the club, and then all of a sudden they told us the club had sort of gone into liquidation and it was no longer a thing. So luckily I had a few things to fall back on, worked a normal job, as they say, for a little bit, and then picked up the rugby side of things 6 months later. But you never know what life's going to throw at you, so it's always best to be prepared.
What was the normal job era? What did you find yourself doing?
Oh, God, I got up to all sorts. I was a delivery driver at one point out in Jersey.
Nice. Which,
yeah, Jersey's a very small island, so I didn't have to go too far, so that was good. Then done some paint mixing as well. And considering all I know is duck egg green, I was pretty good at it.
That's all you do need to know, so long as you have your duck egg green. That's fine. You'll go from strength to strength. You mentioned as well about considering the mental health route as well, and that your mum was involved with that. I'm sure that's part of the reason that came to mind. Do you think there was any element of the fact that that was something you had to go through as well when you were a teenager and a younger kid, that that might have led you down that direction or that thought train?
Yeah, 100%. It's funny because mum was halfway through her dissertation whilst it was all sort of going on, and she was stressing, bless her, behind a computer. So again, I'm not too sure why I looked at that and thought it would be fun. But yeah, no, like I said earlier, very open family, always sort of talk openly about our problems and stuff, which has been a massive help, especially with this sort of side of things in the military. So yeah, no, I think she sort of instilled in those sort of values into me, and I thought, why not try and get paid for it? And I haven't needed to, but I may get paid for talking, who knows?
As a Tom now, as well as being a professional rugby player, you're an ambassador for Little Troopers. And I think it's amazing. But what made you want to do that? Why did you want to get involved?
I think throughout my career, I've always tried to do some form of charity work. And I think it must have been around 2020, 2021. My sister got a package through the post, which was from Little Troopers. It was sort of a drawing set. It was then like a sort of a Skype or a FaceTime call with loads of other children going through similar things, and sort of light bulb moment of well, this is brilliant. It's something I'm passionate about, something I've been through. Hopefully I can spread the little wisdom that I have to others to sort of help them through a tough time like I did, and reached out to the charity, and it's gone from strength to strength, and I'm really enjoying my time.
Well, we can say we're very, very grateful that you do. It's not unappreciated. We appreciate it very much. Tom, growing up as a military child, do you think there's things you've learned through going through those experiences that now help you in adult life?
Yeah, definitely. I think the most prominent one was sort of navigating that period with dad being away. I suffered quite a lot, which is probably normal, and a normal feeling for children to feel now is a lot of anxiety, anxious. And I'm not a big believer in always labeling something makes things better, but got diagnosed with anxiety and OCD during that time. And navigating that alongside dad being away, alongside growing up and all the other things that come hand in hand with that was quite difficult. But sort of the process of getting over that, I've said it quite a lot, but the resilience, the routine, more importantly, just figuring out who you are as a person. I think you find that out quite quickly as a military child, staying true to sort of your core values and what you want to get out of life, I think personally has helped me quite a bit in adult life.
Yeah, That makes a lot of sense. I have to say as well, I got the OCD diagnosis about a year ago, and I can't imagine going through that as a teenager. It's difficult enough now as an adult sometimes as well, but you know, these things in some ways do make you tougher and give you a fresh perspective on other things. So I think it's really nice for kids to hear who might be dealing with bouts of anxiety that is something that can help you and give you a different perspective later on in life. Speaking of other kids, is there anyone that you work with now, anyone you know in rugby that was also a military child or has a link to the military somehow?
Yeah, I'm not too sure about military child, but I've got two teammates at the moment at Doncaster Knights, Josh Williams and Rocco, who are current serving members, Rocco in the army. And then you've got Josh as well, who's with the Navy. So there is a sort of full circle moment. There's a very strong link between military life and professional rugby at the same time as well. So it's familiar throughout my whole career.
How does that even work? They must be so busy.
Yeah, no, I think they've got the best of both worlds. They get the military package, pay package, and the rugby one as well. So they're laughing.
Yeah, it's a good setup.
Yeah,
it's a real nice setup. There you go. Right, Tom, I could sit and talk to you all day. Sadly, we're coming to the end of our time. But before I let you go, we have some questions from our amazing listeners. Ollie, over to you.
Hi, Tom. How have you been able to deal with certain sporting events and big moments in your career without certain people in your family being there? How have you managed to deal with that and like kind of used it for your future endeavours?
It's a very good question, actually. And usually the parents are always at the sideline, biggest fans. So firstly, mum was fantastic, taking lots of photos and sending them off to dad. But sort of having mum there as that support mechanism and being sort of the biggest cheerleader was a massive help. And then it also made it that little bit more special when dad could make the games. He's then on the touchdown. It gives you that extra boost to try and score a try.
That's a lovely answer. And now let's hear from Henry.
Hey, Tom, I'm Henry. And my question is, did you struggle getting into sports teams when you moved schools?
Yes. Inevitably, there was nerves and anxiousness around sort of making new friends again. But I do think that military life, especially as a child, that is sort of the perfect concoction of preparing you for that. Having to move around to different schools, move house, you get pretty used to having to start afresh again and making new friends. So yes, it was nerve-wracking. It was slightly difficult, but the rugby community as a whole, similar to the military, is very welcoming, and you've got that common sort of, the rugby pundits will love it, this common love of the game that you can all talk about and play together. So that made it a little bit easier.
Love it. Makes sense. Tom, have to say, thank you so much. It's been amazing to speak to you and great to have you back again on Squad. No doubt if there's a season 3, we will coax you into doing that as well.
No, thank you very much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, before we let you go, though, I do have one final question. And that would be, if you had to give just one piece of advice, what would you tell our listeners who are thinking about their own careers?
Choose something you enjoy, choose something you love, and work extremely hard at getting it.
I think it's sound advice. I think it applies to all areas. Tom, thank you so much. Best of luck with your injury. And I'm sure we'll see you again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. See you later.
Wow, what an amazing conversation with Tom. And for me, something so interesting to find out more about was why it seems to be that military children consider or actually do go into the military themselves, whether that's the routine that they get used to or even just the admiration they have for their parents. I mean, in Tom's case, when he spoke about his dad, he was filled with so much pride. And I think that's a wonderful thing to hear. Well, as always, please do get in touch to share your thoughts, or if you have any further questions for Tom, you can find us on Instagram, email us, or leave a comment on the podcast platform. All our details are at littletroopers.net. Sadly, that is all the time we've got for today. Thank you so much to Tom for chatting to us on this episode of Squad, and to Caitlin, Charlotte, Henry, and Ollie for their brilliant Squad stories and questions. And thanks to you as well for listening. Please do follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find loads of other interesting stories waiting for you there. We'll see you next time.